Well, I want to welcome our guest now, Chandra Prasad, and she wrote a very interesting novel, Breathe the Sky, a novel inspired by the life of Amelia Earhart. And Chandra, earlier we had three women from the 99s, the Women's Pilot Aviation Society, and we were talking about their interest in flying, et cetera, and how Amelia Earhart might or might not have influenced them. And I thought that the reason I wanted to have you on is because have you seen the movie Amelia yet?
I haven't seen it yet, no. I started working on my book about 3 years ago, and about 2 years ago found out that the movie was coming out and was quite pleased knowing that the two projects would come out together and that they would probably be very different from one another.
Yeah, and we're dealing with such an icon, to tell you the truth, that I'm not sure any movie, any single movie or any single book could really capture all the complexities of Amelia Earhart. And so I really was excited that I had a chance to read your book at the same time, because I really want to fill in a lot of the details that I thought, frankly, weren't part of the movie. And so tell me, number one, how did you get interested in Amelia Earhart's story?
Well, I became fascinated with Amelia Earhart because I wrote a little bit about her in my last novel, which is called On Borrowed Wings. That book is set in New Haven, Connecticut in the 1930s. And in real life, Amelia Earhart did make an appearance in New Haven not too long before her final disappearance. So I got hooked on learning about Amelia Earhart then and researched her on my own avidly, and the result of that research and my personal interest in her is my new book, Breathe the Sky.
And, you know, Amelia Earhart, you know, in the movie, I've had an opportunity to see it, and you certainly get a sense of almost Barnum, Putnam, and the hucksterism involved in trying to get the money to, you know, support these flights, et cetera. We certainly got a real sense of that. But I really didn't think the movie had maybe the opportunities, but didn't really portray who really Amelia Earhart was. And she was a woman that absolutely believed in the equality of women, and she was so aware of all the things that women would have to do in order to be able to do what they wanted to do, wasn't she?
She absolutely was, and she was like that from her childhood days. She was always aware that girls could do as much as boys could, if not more. And she wanted to be a role model for women, even from a young age. You know, she used to keep a list of women around with her, women that were the first in their fields in all different areas, from banking to politics. And she was inspired by this list. And she herself wanted to be on this list, but it wasn't until her 20s when she got started in aviation and flying that she found her calling.
Yeah, she really is fascinating because, you know, her grandparents were quite affluent, et cetera, but her father actually had a little problem with alcohol, and yet when one reads about Amelia, you realize that what a close relationship they had, and so Amelia and her sister, Mullen, had to be kind of independent from word go, didn't they? At least Amelia was.
They did, and she was from a fairly affluent family, at least on her mother's side. But I think it is important to note that several times in her life, she did taste poverty, and she was aware of how to, you know, skimp and save. And she did sew her own Easter dresses when she was a child. And, you know, she did save up money and several times was in dire financial straits in her life. So that was a part of her life. And flying was both an escape for her and a way of making money.
Yeah, and it's just very tangentially touched, really, because I was aware of that. Really, what a seamstress, really, Amelia Earhart was. And she started a fashion line, but it was not just, you know, to get her name on all kinds of brands. But, in fact, there weren't the kind of clothing that were appropriate for the really active woman, particularly, say, a woman that's going to be flying in and out of planes and all this kind of stuff. And so she really was not just a brand name, so to speak, on these fashions, but she actually had the capacity to actually design these, didn't she?
She did. In Breathe the Sky, I tried to go into how much of a Renaissance woman she was. This was someone who could sew and design clothes. this was someone who knew photography, who knew engineering. She'd do a little of everything, and most of the time when she was flying alone, especially in the latter part of her career. So she had very strong flight skills and navigational skills.
Yeah, and under enormous pressures to be everything to so many people because, and also it's so fascinating because you can understand really with a young woman like this that's so far ahead of her time, what is she going to do? You know, what is she going to become? And so her mother manages to get the money that she goes to school, but then her sister is up in Canada and this is during World War One. And so when Amelia goes up and visits her, she realizes all the soldiers who, you know, are so injured and ill, et cetera. So she starts to help. And is that when she really got exposed to aviation and flyers, so to speak, in a different way than she ever had been before?
Precisely. She had a start then. And frankly, aviation is a really expensive hobby. So it was through a bit of luck that she was able to persevere. And the fact that she looked like Charles Lindbergh, who was so famous at that time, really helped Amelia Earhart. Because America was looking for someone that could follow in his big footsteps, and she just bore this striking resemblance to him.
And, you know, it's interesting you mention that because, you know, early aviation, it's hard to imagine from World War One to now that, you know, the early, so to speak, exposures to a lot of people to planes were these little fragile things having these almost meaningless fights in the air. But it was kind of a fascinating, you know, spectacle to what's happened now. But with the aviation industry, I always thought one of the reasons that Amelia Earhart, you know, yes, she did look like Lindy and she did have the kind of mysterious personality, if you will. But also, I thought being a woman, I really thought that people could identify more with her when she is in the air. And perhaps it wasn't this totally dangerous, almost stunt kind of thing, but that if a woman could be up there, and that's how she first came into the attention of the public, not for flying herself, but by being a passenger in a transatlantic flight.
Right. She was a passenger on the first flight across the Atlantic. And that was for Amelia always a source of shame that she became famous for a flight that she wasn't actually flying in herself. And later in life, she did cross the Atlantic by herself, and she was only the second person in history to do so. One thing that I think the thing that I am most fascinated by with Amelia Earhart is the juxtaposition between this glamorous, sophisticated, worldly woman who was charming and smart, and this woman who spends countless hours in this toxic, cramped cockpit of her plane under very primitive flying conditions and very dangerous conditions. This was a woman that took risks, and I think we can identify with her very much today.
Yeah, you mentioned that, you know, reading up on this, I was just, because there were lots of other, you know, women, early aviators, et cetera. And it's stunning just how dangerous, and you're right, you mentioned the cockpit. And so many of the early flyers, they'd be in these races. And so in order to be as fast as possible, they'd have their, and also I imagine the wind resistance was really fierce on their head and eyes too. So they would actually get down into the cockpit, their heads, and only look up enough to get the markers to see, and they were getting all this carbon monoxide and all of these fumes. It's a wonder that most of them didn't pass out in the air, and that's one of the reasons they crashed.
Oh, and they did. I mean, sometimes it's documented that sometimes they did because they didn't always have coverage. And certainly if you're in a plane for 14 or 16 hours to the very bitter end of your fuel, eating and drinking is really the last thing on your mind. And things like, I mean, basic things that, you know, we don't really want to talk about in polite company, like going to the bathroom, like how are these things done? I wanted to get at that raw, gritty stuff in my book because I think that's significant to Amelia Earhart's legacy, too. You know, you want to identify with the real woman, this real woman who grappled not just big things like traveling across places that had never been traveled before, but also, you know, smaller everyday things like survival, like basic survival.
Yeah, and like the responsibilities to a family, a very needy family where she essentially was the breadwinner for them all. And that's what I really loved about your book, because frankly, Amelia Earhart is an icon because she deserves to be. And I just felt we needed so much more information, you know, than the film gave us. And also, and I love the way you did flesh that out. You really, you got a sense. You got a sense because, you know, Amelia obviously, and I imagine it would be almost hard to define what they actually would feel when they'd be in the sky, because it would be such a physical feeling. And also, you know, just like in her first flight, if I put together your book and actually what I saw in the movie, one had a sense of just how so easily, you know, that plane really didn't handle icing. She was getting terrible icing. I mean, she could have crashed so easily. And yet, you know, why do they keep going? And why even more, I suppose one would ask, do they go back up? And I thought you really fleshed out her very interesting character so much more in your book.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm pleased to hear that. And I hope I succeeded in readers enjoy the book and take away from it something that isn't available in the movie and in biographies.
And tell me, because, you know, part of Amelia's fascination is what happened. I mean, and it must have been hard for you because, you know, she was so full of life. And she, you know, she was with Eleanor Roosevelt and so many of the early, you know, pioneers of women's rights, etc. So much involved with all of them. And frankly, she had so much to live for. What a future she would have had. Was it hard for you to follow that last flight?
You know, it really was. In writing the book and in researching Amelia, I did become very attached to her. She's someone who's hard not to admire. She was so breathtaking in so many regards, and so much a role model, especially to women. However, I think she very much was human, and that's another thing that I tried to bring out in Breathe the Sky. She made mistakes, and I think she did push herself too far sometimes. Not because she was a woman, but just because she was human, and we all make mistakes sometimes. So I won't give away what I think was the end of Amelia's career, which is the end of my book, because I hope your readers will read that for themselves. But I do want to say that it's not surprising that she disappeared. I mean, given the technology of the plane, given the extreme flight circumstances, she was trying to land on a tiny island that was only about a mile by 2 miles in the middle of the South Pacific after an excruciatingly long journey of about 14 hours. I mean, it's not surprising that she would have encountered problems.
No. And with aviation, you're aware that even at that time, there are advances and they happen pretty fast. And that sometimes your familiarity with your basic equipment, its abilities, its limitations can actually be the difference in you surviving or not. And we realize your book pointed out just how incredibly busy she was, but so much of it was necessary to constantly get the funding, you know, for this. And you know, all the hucksterism, you know, of her husband, but you realize in so many ways why that was necessary. If they hadn't raised that money, there's no way she could have ever attempted any of these things. And, you know, I thought it was really fascinating because in the movie, you know, they very much, you give the implication that it was a battery, that the fault of this Navy person, you know, has fallen asleep all night. But there were so many areas of convergence that, however, Amelia Earhart didn't survive, came into play for her not being able to get to Howland Island, you know, however you decide what happened. And I thought you did that very fairly and with, you know, she was very human. You were absolutely right. And I just really, again, we're talking to Chandra Prasad, and her book is Breathe the Sky, and it's a novel inspired by the life of Amelia Earhart. And to tell you the truth, I think if people put your book with the movie, they'd get a much better sense, you know, of really who Amelia Earhart was.
Well, thank you. I mean, I myself am going to see the movie this weekend, so I'm looking forward to it. But what I found in the past is kind of what you've already said, that no single source can depict all the many aspects of this American icon. So the best we can do is you know, add our personal take. And I think Breathe the Sky does add something new to the mix. I do, because not too many movies and certainly not too many books have gotten at the grit of her life and the overscheduling of her life.
Yeah, and you did that, Breathe the Sky, and yet I thought you were honest to, you know, her very strong and fascinating character. And again, it's Breathe the Sky, and it's actually a Wyatt McKenzie book. And so, Chandra, I'm real curious if you could just drop me an email. I'd be real curious to know your take on the movie.
I certainly will. I'll do that by the end of this weekend.
Okay, fine. Listen, thank you so much for giving us this time today. I really loved it. I thought you really fleshed out Amelia so well.
Thanks again, and I love your show also.
Oh, that is so sweet. And. You